Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. He's Andy Murray from What Culture, and we're here to talk about Chris Jericho in AEW. What went wrong? It's all a little bit weird right now. The Jericho Vortex, he's doing the learning tree gimmick, but it wasn't always like this, Andy. It was good before.
No, it certainly wasn't. It's actually been quite the fall from grace over the past, well, 5 or so years. For Chris Jericho in AEW, at least when it comes to his public perception, you say fall from grace, he's always going to be featured prominently on the card.
Yes.
He's never going to fall away entirely because his name is Chris Jericho and he's a pro wrestling legend.
He was the guy to attract people initially. I remember casual wrestling fans of mine who said, what's this new AEW? All I know is it's got Chris Jericho and I think Jim Ross is doing some commentary, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Like a big attraction piece for people maybe not so familiar with the Elite and some of the other signings. But here we are in 2024, and you know, you could probably make a reasonable case that you should rename the phrase X-Pac Heat to Jericho.
Yeah.
But if you go back to some of that early stuff, I mean, some of it was hugely beneficial for AEW. The run as Les Champion was awesome. Like a really perfect way. At that time, there was a bit of cynicism as to why he'd beaten Hangman Page. But then it quickly became apparent that this guy was going to be instrumental in establishing AEW's new championship, and so it proved right. He had that blockbuster first feud with Cody, with the great angles in that, like, I've got a ticket, all of that nonsense. And then he went through it and through it and through it. The Jon Moxley feud was certainly very good as well. And there's a lot of other great stuff in there as well. A little bit of the bubbly. Of course, like the premier AEW meme, at least in those early days, that sustained us patter-wise in this room for a long time. In fact, you can go as recently as Revolution 2022 when he had that great match with Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I mean, that's a different match, but it was like it was like Grandpa's first King's Road match, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He just got dropped on his head and hit in his face, and it was incredible. But certainly, time has not been too kind to old Christopher Irvin.
No, exactly. Like you say, initially establishing the company, establishing AEW, and establishing some really important players in AEW was kind of one of the key roles that he had. And yeah, he was really entertaining. It was fun to see how he's going to interact with someone next, especially when the title wasn't involved, like MJF, obviously. And the Kingston stuff started off pretty well, like you say, that match at Revolution. But arguably, the Kingston feud was where things started to go slightly wrong. Because, yes, people argued, maybe Hangman Page should have beaten him or whatever. But generally, he did the right thing in terms of winning certain matches and losing the ones that the opponents really needed more. Mm-hmm. The feud with Kingston, barbed wire everywhere, that was kind of the zenith for me of just like, uh-oh, this is kind of going a little bit off the rails, because he beat him in the matches that were really important, and then it was like, Eddie Kingston's thrown into barbed wire, so kind of he's kind of got the last laugh here, and it's like, that's not really going to help Eddie Kingston on his trend up the card. And yes, you know, he had a variety of different groups as well, which worked brilliantly, first of all. I mean, remember the reaction, remember the noise, remember the rating when they first had Jake Hager turn up on the first episode of Dynamite and they formed the Inner Circle, and that was the sort of protective bubble that Jericho had around him with Sammy Guevara there and what have you. And then he sort of took that gimmick and changed it, and it became the Jericho Appreciation Society, which was, you know, a fun different version of the Inner Circle, effectively, with obviously different people involved. I think the problems as well there were the fact that the JAS was sort of parodying sports entertainment, which it kind of became a parody of itself almost. And crucially also, it was meant to be a jab at, oh, look what they're doing over there. But WWE was changing at that point and they were moving away from sports entertainment. So it was like, what are you parodying here? What were we meant to be taken away from this? And then they started feuding with the BCC and that got kind of, well, it was one dimensional, wasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And it was almost to a point as well. There was an insidious kind of creep of a lot of sports entertainment-y type tropes on AEW TV as well. So it was kind of like, well, no, you're not really a parody now. You're just the thing.
Using it to get away with, yes.
Exactly, exactly. But that's not like, that's really just the tip of the iceberg or the tip of the orange, orange-juiced iceberg, I don't know. When it comes to, like, harmful feuds that Chris Jericho's had in AEW, I mean, obviously, he's had his beneficial ones. The Cody one was incredible,
yeah,
as we've said. I think Orange Cassidy really benefited. This match sucked, but, like, the feud itself certainly, for me, helped establish OC. I think
it's more than just a fun character. It's like, oh, if you can get over Jericho.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think MJF benefited from working with him. And there are...
I like Ladina Debonair. People say, well, this people hate it for whatever reasons. I needed that in the pandemic.
Subjective, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's subjective. The first Stadium Stampede was awesome.
Oh.
Like, there's lots of really good Jericho stuff out there. Sammy Guevara, the Sex Gods, a really underrated AEW tag team.
He was a brilliant tag wrestler, Jericho, during this run.
Exactly, but these were kind of confined largely to the first, what, 2 or 3 years of AEW's operations.
Yes.
It's when you go to these more recent examples, like Eddie Kingston, who's one you mentioned, where the barbed wire everywhere match, where Jericho was thrown into the barbed wire after beating Eddie, and that was painted as some kind of, like, some kind of moral victory or something. It's complete nonsense. You get to, like, the Ricky Starks feud, for example, and this is kind of where that clout vampire insult phase kind of starts, where it's like, this guy's getting over, I need to jump on top of this, and I need to kind of, it transparently felt not like a veteran trying to help that rising star get to the next phase, but a veteran going, hey, this guy's really popular, I want some of his buzz, there's Eddie. And it's not the only one. Adam Cole comes back. Last year, they had that disaster of a match at Double or Nothing 2023, which looked even worse because just a couple of weeks before, Chris Jericho and Roderick Strong had that awesome brawl all over the place.
It went from, like you say, it went from Chris Jericho has seen this person that we haven't really noticed have this potential and he's going to use his star power to elevate them to, like you say, oh, he's going to utilize the next big thing to attach himself to.
Yeah.
And that came to pass.
That's it. It's political movements from a very savvy operator. And that's partly where you get to where we are today.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing was, you know, Jericho's been a divisive figure, well, for the entire time he's been in wrestling. That's the character he's always been great at. And I think the thing is you could love or hate Chris Jericho whether you were meant to or not, basically. But you always knew, and we were guilty of this on the podcast, because we would complain about Jericho, and we'd say he's rubbish, he needs to go away, or this isn't working, or whatever. And you'd say that about him, and then it'd get to the match, and you'd be like, you know what, I've not liked this, this, and this about this feud. But at the end of the day, the match delivered. And like you say, a bit like with Adam Cole and a few other things, that started going away. It stopped being like, I don't really like this feud, but Quake at the Lake, for example, happens, and you go, that's on me, that sort of thing.
That's a ripper, yeah.
But when you lose that saving grace, you're just stuck with, he just fancies feuding with this person now because that's the next best thing for him. And it's just, it feels like there's less and less to back up with of, all right, I know you're not a fan of the way they're going about this, but give it time and you'll realise why that they have attached, why the bookers have attached Chris Jericho, why Chris Jericho has selected this person to go forward and work with, rather than, and this is a point we will circle back to, no doubt, just going away for a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And if you look at where Jericho is right now, really, even if you're being kind, I think if you're going to pinpoint the last great Chris Jericho singles match, it was at Wembley last year. Mm. And that was against Will Ospreay. This chair could have a great wrestling match with Will Ospreay. And even then at Wembley, he still had to do his "Ayo!" silly ring entrance with his live performance. And like, look, we all had fun singing Judas in the Building. I'm a big fat hypocrite when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. I'm going to get involved with the crowd participation. You know, that connection was still kind of there. But I don't think you can really say that anymore. We're in 2024 now, and look, he's had this feud with the Don Callis family, of course, which, you know, not the most satisfying thing in the world, shall we say. Obviously, the origins of that story made a lot of sense. They're, you know, two Canadian dudes, lots of history, all of that stuff, blah, 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 blah. But he's visibly struggled to keep up in the ring with the likes of Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita. And now he's working with Hook, who would be the latest wrestler to kind of swirl in. Well, Big Bill on Dynamite this week as well, of course.
We'll get
There's
to
another
that.
One swirling around the toilet bowl that is current day Chris Jericho. You look at the Hook feud. Hook beats him in the first match. Lots of suplexes, yada, yada, yada. But then they spend about 2 or 3 weeks doing this thing where it's like, we're a team now, but I'm going to call you out. And now we're rivals, and we're frenemies, and we're all over the place. You get to Dynasty, Dynasty, whatever we're calling it, I still can't get it right. And Chris Jericho beats Hook for the FTW World Championship. Now, the FTW Championship is not this sacred thing.
No.
You know, it's not this, oh, you violated the sanctity, whatever. It's a token, right? It's a trinket style belt. It's more of a symbol of Taz and his attitude, carried on to his son, Hook, of course. That defiance that defined ECW, all of that. And it's on Chris Jericho, who couldn't be more establishment. Now, the idea there, if you're being charitable, might be, well, it's on someone who really does not fit these values.
Yes,
that's good heel.
I get it.
Yeah, that's good heel heat. But I'm not sure that the heel heat Chris Jericho is attracting right now is good heel heat.
No, the Hook is the kind of the personification of everything we're talking about in this video, really. Like, the Jericho Vortex was created by critics to say what we to kind of personify what we're saying about him just drawing someone in and getting glomming onto them and getting what he can from them and then moving on. And then you're like, did you benefit from that? And just because he's like, the Jericho Vortex really helps people. I know it doesn't actually, but that's what we're doing. A bit like all the way back with the JAS being like, oh, bloody sports entertainment here, but well, you know what we're doing. Well, no, at some point you're just doing sports entertainment because that's what you're doing. The Hook feud was weird for me as well, because I thought, like, for a while, they sort of start introducing them as going at it, and they have this singles match, and then Jericho goes like, I needed to see what you had, da-da-da-da-da, let's become a team. And I thought, you know what, fair play. Chris Jericho has decided he's going to invest in this storyline. You know, he's saying, I won't betray you, but Hook's being portrayed as smart. He's saying, you're Chris Jericho, I know what you're going to do. Yeah. I'm going to stick with you. And fair play, he's taking a step back, he's going to miss Dynasty, and then we're going to have the big blow-off feud at Double or Nothing, and that's maybe where he'll put Hook over or whatever. And then they just expedite it so fast to the point where they had the meeting between Hook and Jericho, and I think the Dynamite before Dynasty, yeah. if I'm not mistaken, and then just, boom, the FTW title match is happening at Dynasty, and there was only ever going to really be one result there, because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
So now we have Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, the learning tree, as FTW champion. And this was something that all of us really loved about Jericho, is the Dadleys have talked to me a lot about this as well on the podcast, of he used to know just the right time to either go away or just to reinvent himself. Like, the list. You were like, oh, I'm not bothered about seeing Chris Jericho. Wait a second, he's got the list now.
Stupid idiot.
Or even just like something as like, you know what? No one else is doing this. I'm just going to go to Japan and feud with Kenny Omega, or I'm going to bring the Painmaker, or whatever it may be. He doesn't have that right now. Like, this version of Chris Jericho, the learning tree Chris Jericho, with Big Bill, a former world champion, tag team champion, but nevertheless former world champion in AEW, who now inexplicably wants to sit under the learning tree and learn from whatever he calls the Socrates of bloody wrestling, or whatever it was they said the other day.
It's ridiculous.
Right, I love Big Bill. I think this is the wrong position for him. I said to Sidge on the podcast, this feels almost like a role that was made for someone like Anthony Ogogo, who actually could work in that sort of role. I know he's just had big guys in his stable throughout, but Anthony Ogogo is relatively new to wrestling and probably would benefit from, but not Big Bill. Yeah. He's been in there for about a decade at least, and he's just held tag team golds. And this week's episode of Dynamite perfectly personifies it. I'm sat there, I'm watching it. We haven't got to the Tony Khan getting attacked by Jack Perry bit yet. The show's going along, and I'm like, great, we've had, you know, a fun women's match, we've had Mercedes Moné and Willow, we've had Swerve, new champion, etc., etc. And I'm going, and to finish, we're going to have Tony Khan taking that bump. But we finish, we're going to have the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. Here we go, John Moxley, Powerhouse Hobbs. And then Jericho comes out, and you can almost feel the air go out of the building. Oh, God, it's time for another Jericho segment. God forbid we have 1 week when he's not there. And this is the other thing, he doesn't know when to go away now. And when I say go away, Andy, I don't mean shoot some stuff to play out on Collision or Dynamite because you're going away for 3 weeks for a sodding Fozzy tour or whatever. I mean a prolonged break, because the thing we always say is, if you won't go away, how can I miss you?
Exactly. And if he's going to stick around, you need one of those reinventions. You need a list. You need a little bit of the bubbly. You need a new gimmick. You need something that's going to capture the imagination, take off online, going to get people talking. He doesn't have it anymore. He does not have that in him anymore, at least in his current phase, I don't think. I mean, we're on this learning tree gimmick, and, you know, we've just come off the Ocho as well, which was another thing that didn't really take either. And it's like, he got rid of Judas because people were slowly stopping singing the song, which for years was an incredible piece of crowd participation. It's a great entrance theme.
People say it when he was one of the biggest heels.
It's just fun. And now he's doing this gimmick where he's disingenuous veteran locker room guy, passing down advice to these young kids, when really the whole point of the gimmick is that the advice isn't benefiting them, it's benefiting Jericho. But transparently, people are seeing what he's doing as a clout vampire and pulling people in, that it's just not going to work. Those noises that come out of people's mouths in the arena when Jericho comes out at the moment aren't, "Boo, I hate you so much and I really want to see the good guy whip your ass, Chris Jericho." Yeah. It's, "I would rather not watch you go away.
Please retire or go home, Jericho." Yeah. I'm not saying, I don't think he should retire.
No,
I think he's still an incredible presence in the industry, and I think he could be utilized still really well, even still in AEW right now. But he has to not... He'd be on the show for a bit.
Take a little break.
Yeah.
Take a little break. I think it would do him the world of good. He's not taken a serious break since AEW started.
That's mad, isn't it?
At least one for like a period of 3 or 4 months, and he really does need that. It would do him incredible good. And I tell you what, if you want to mint someone as a huge babyface at the moment, having them beat the crap out of Chris Jericho in a write-off angle would work huge.
Yes.
But Big
it's
Bill...
It's not like they haven't got any big stars to fill the spot.
Exactly. And the thing, Big Bill's going to have all of of the fun sucked out of him. So's Hook by the end of whenever their beef is done. Although Big Bill versus Hook could be quite fun if we do that in the interim. But yeah, it's just a really dismal state of affairs. People are tired of the gimmicks and the overexposure is the word for it. And it does really suck to see like a linchpin of this promotion go from being so just undeniably positive for the company to kind of a real drain when he shows up.
He was the demo god for a reason. Yeah. It wasn't just, oh, that's Chris Jericho, let's tune in. He was a fascinating watch. And do you imagine if he went away, right? Initially, people were like, oh, thank God for that, right? But then after like 2-3 months, if you start a teaser campaign, we all know it's Chris Jericho, because let's be honest, it's going to be fairly blatantly obvious. I still remember the WWE one with the, X plus 1, 2, and 7. What could that possibly mean?
Y2 equals J, you say.
Or whatever it was. But like, it wouldn't be just like, oh, I'm excited to see Chris Jericho back. It would like be, you say, it would be, I'm excited to see what version of Chris Jericho comes back. Is he going to have a different look? Is he going to have a different gimmick? Is he going to have a different finisher? Who knows? But yeah, it's just, I don't hate Chris Jericho. I don't think he's a bad wrestler. I just think overexposed is the perfect term that you used.
Yeah, definitely. And at this point, the only cure for that seems to be to go away and find that bit of reinvention magic that seems to have lost him, at least for now. But let us know what you think in the comment section below. Are you digging the learning tree? Are you into this stuff? Where do you think it went wrong for him across the board? And what do you think the solution is as
well? And if he is going to go away and he's struggling to find something to fill his time other than Fozzy, why not check out this video, Chris, instead?
Yeah, have a look at this. It's amazing.
Bye.
Bye, Chris.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.